All right, all right, all right. What's up, what's up, what's up? Michael Gavin here. I want to share a clip real quick. I want to share a clip. It's titled The End.
In managing this business, that's something that nobody sees. Even my close friends and family.
Oh, hold on. Hold on. I'm coming in here like, I got this. One second. Here we go.
I see all of these people around me making so cool things. And I want to do that too. I want to be creative too, but I can't because I don't have time because I have to manage a business that tells people to be creative. It's ironic.
I have to manage a business that helps people be creative. You know, it's so fascinating. I have been obsessed recently with these videos from people who are basically talking about burnout, creator burnout. They're living the dream that other people have. You know, we've seen this all through time of celebrities, athletes, entertainers, you know, these creators. We compare and we're in a time where now we can literally open up something like YouTube and watch hundreds of videos of people quitting something that others aspire to. Quitting something that others aspire to. Quitting their acting, quitting their entertainment, quitting their athletics, whatever it is. And as this guy, it's the first time I've come across this guy. Actually, it's 2.67 million subscribers. You know, that video has 263,000 views and it has 3,000 comments. And there's a lot of comments like, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? There's a lot of thank yous. But there's a lot of why don't yous? You should just do this. And he says in this video, almost no one sees what goes on behind the scenes. And having just gotten out of kind of a two year, I can say 2 year in 2 seconds, 2 year. But 2 years is 365 days times two, right? And then we can break that down into hours, et cetera, et cetera. And the interesting thing is that people don't see the behind the scenes. And I have to constantly remind myself of my own life and what's going on. I share as much as I can within reason of the privacy of those around me as well who may be involved or clients I'm coaching. And I do my best because I have a person in my life I have known for 14 years and they've heard a particular story in my life. I was going to exaggerate and say thousands of times, but they've heard it hundreds of times. That's probably no exaggeration in 14 years. And I had to get so intense on a call or on an audio. I was sending a message to this person that the story that they were hearing, that they were experiencing, was false. Even though it's not what I was saying. Like, I think because in my life, I've shared things like from a place of optimism, from a place of positivity, from a place of lessons learned, and not from typically a place of like complaining or negativity or woe is me or I'm a victim. I typically don't share from that place. Yet what happens is that because I can share negative experiences through a lens of optimism, people think it wasn't tough, it wasn't challenging, or that I arrived at some kind of epic place, you know, like overnight, and it just, oh, I had this idea. And so what's interesting is I think we see and hear what we want to see and hear when we view things on the internet. 100 people could hear me say everything I'm saying right now, and they will all hear it differently. They will all experience it differently. And so when we look at these people who are blatantly, like, their nervous systems are shot, They're exhausted. They're burnt out. They're tired. Like, and people are just like, well, why don't you just do this? That would be, oh my gosh. Because what do they have? What do people have that do this? And then when they're at big enough stages, people who don't have what they have and want what they want go, oh my God, are you kidding me? This person has I can't see now. 2.67 million subscribers and he's gonna quit? I have dreamed of having 10 subscribers. What is up with this person? Right? And I have dreamed of having what they have. And I think the thing is that I don't know how long this guy's channel, but when I started my production company way back in the day, I was extremely naive. I had very low expectations. I had no clue what was really possible or what could be done or the right or wrong ways that I could do something. I didn't know. And the internet and the ability for it to allow us to see and experience a million different things that most would never experience, one, in an actual physical reality, and also would not experience like virtually or indirectly. Like, we wouldn't know. There's things that are happening 500 million miles away that, you know, we can find out about now that typically no one would ever know unless you were like near that city or it was so big that it made the top four channels on TV. And so I think because I experienced envy from others in my own life, I've had that. I've done that. When I've seen people, I'm like, oh man, they've got all these people listening to them. I want to inspire those people. I just want to jump in and put myself in front of their people. But they didn't follow me. They followed that person. They care about that person. Doesn't mean they won't care about me. But I once got 5,000 subscribers in like less than a week from a YouTube channel that really had nothing to do with the kind of stuff I did, but they just said, go follow this person. And did I become friends with some of those people over time? And, you know, all sorts of things that happened out of those 5,000? Yes. But I also had an astronomical rate of like unsubscribes and people who didn't care and didn't like it because it was just like, it was a mismatch. And so I see where people come from when people have what someone else wants and then they miss because they haven't experienced it, what that person's feeling. And so there was a place in my career where I was burnt out. Like, I did not get into entrepreneurship to like not have a life and to be scared all the time and fearful all the time. Cause I was like, I was afraid of answering the phone, not my whole career, but there was a period and season of my life. I was afraid to answer the phone. I was afraid to look at my email. I was afraid to go into the movie theater. Like, I was just afraid. And it was a constant state of probably mild anxiety that I had no idea about any of these things. I didn't know anything about trauma. I didn't know anything about the psychology, mindset. Like, I was just this wide-eyed, bushy-tailed kid that essentially started a company because he didn't want to go to college and was always kind of entrepreneurial. And this thing was working out and I just followed it. That was it. And I didn't have big dreams and aspirations and work with these people. None of that was in existence. And then I had this thing that I believe I got a lot from my parents, especially my father, which was, you know, do your best. And I had this innate ability to go, I don't care if I'm getting paid to do something. If I could do it better and I have the means to do it better, I'm going to do it better. I want to be proud of what I put together. I don't want to be like, well, they didn't pay for it, so I'm not going to do it. And a lot of people do that. There's a whole thing going around right now around the Super Bowl and how these people, you know, oh, even at the top, they get paid for exposure. And it's like, yeah, because there are times and places where it makes sense. And there's times and places it makes no sense. There's times and places where you're being taken advantage. And there's times and places where you can take advantage, not in a negative, like manipulative sense, but like there is an opportunity to be had that pride and ego can get in the way and prevent people from having incredible things happen. I've probably done more free things in my life than I've done paid things, but the paid things have far outweighed the free things because the free things I did with kind of pure intent that I wanted to do have led to so much opportunity and so much joy and so much fun. But like, there was a time where like, I wanted to get out of weddings. don't know that I hated it, but it was a lot of stress. And I think that there's a way to mitigate that. And I don't want to ever discourage someone from doing it. But I did have to remove myself from that environment because I had even, you know, by choice decided to do something called a same day edit. And so for me though, when the less stress happened was when I put on here, no to more and yes to less. And I think you're going to see that more and more and more and more and more, because I think there are less and less and less people out there. There are less people in general who are wired to love managing a whole bunch of people and basically building a corporate company. Like they get out of corporate. You see people all the time quit corporate, right? They're making six figures, which is what people, oh, make six figures. It's like, there are people teaching people how to make six figures independently who are already making six figures. So is it about the $100,000 a year? Or is it about the fact that they want to do something that they really enjoy and they're not stressed out or having somebody barking down orders, disrespecting them, all these different types of things. So it's not really about the money. Yes, people want to have enough money to be able to survive. But what happens with all these creators you're seeing is they started with that young-eyed, wide-eyed, bushy-tailed, naive, I just want to create. I just want to put my art out there. I just want to do stuff that I enjoy doing. And it's from that pure, no-expectation place that they create magic. And people follow, and they like, and they enjoy, because there's this authenticity. There's this almost even simplicity to it. There's this pureness. There's this enjoyment. And it's attractive to people. And it doesn't mean that once they do these other things that they don't grow more and it's not no longer attractive to people or people don't like it. But what happens is the creator loses themselves in this race for more, the next levels. I say this and don't misunderstand. People say what got you here won't get you there. But what's interesting is it depends on where there is. Where's this thing you're trying to get to? Because sometimes it's doing more, but maybe slightly different of what you already do, not completely changing everything. And yes, you know, you'll hear the Hormozis and these people talk about like, oh, we have to fire everybody in our company to go from 5 million to 20 million. And then from 20 million, sometimes the people who got us from 5 to 20, we can't go from 20 to 100 million. This is all very attractive because it's an outlier. It's someone that sticks out like a sore thumb because they're so unique and different. And the internet is filled with people who are outliers, outsiders, misfits, misunderstoods. They're the 1% of the 1%, and we get to see them on spotlight at times. And so it's not that we shouldn't aspire for more. In fact, you know, me getting on here and removing the expectation of views, of comments, of likes, of interactions, of the right hook, the right headline, the right titles, the right intros, the right structure, the right, all those things is bringing me back to the pureness of just talking to a friend, just helping a friend. Because when I coach people, the people that I've helped the most in my life, even in my own life, it's not been through, for my life, it's not been through some formula or framework or specific thing I'm doing. Does that mean that's the only way? Absolutely not. And that's what gets misconstrued, is it's a way, it's my way. And it's the way that works well for me and that I enjoy and that gives me sustainability. But it's when I get too much input from the outside world that says, you should, this would be better. If I were you, this is what I would do. And it's through all of that, that effectively we can lose ourselves because we're people pleasing. We don't want to let people down. And then what happens is, what I found in my life and learning, especially with like ADHD, and this can happen to anybody, but you go into freeze mode. When I started my company, it was all MIA, baby. I talk about that massive imperfect action, right? And I wasn't frozen. I was like, I was hot and spicy, baby. I was going. I took action. I didn't know anything. I just, whatever, naive, young-eyed, bushy-eyed, you know, whippersnapper, right? And then the older I got in the last few years, I'm like, what is going on? And the more you learn about trauma, the more you learn about the nervous system, emotional regulation, these things, you see you can get in freeze mode. And there are things that your nervous system and your body do that are attempting to keep you safe because something happened in the past that effectively, it told your body, that's not safe. Don't do that again. And so what happens is, I believe to a lot of these creators, they get to a point where they're frozen, and it's no longer make some adjustments. It's burn it to the ground, right? It's I have to stop entirely. I have to quit. I have to get away. I mean, I didn't post hardly anything on the internet for like 9 months, for the most part, because I intellectually knew the lesson of just get back to me. Get back to this pureness. But at times, you know, it can be difficult to do that by still being in the environment. You know, you read some of these books and you hear these things and you think people are, you know, it's about willpower. And what I find is at times it has nothing to do with willpower. And it has everything to do with change your environment. Because the hardest thing at times to do is to stay in an environment that is negative and overcome it. But if you change it, you can heal, you can be stronger. And if you go into that environment, you can do different. And I know for me, ultimately never been into alcohol, drugs, anything like that. So I'm not an alcoholic or drug addict, but I've had addictions to, I would say, social media. And when those apps are on my phone, it is very challenging to not compulsively check them. When I delete them, I can see that the only one actually, you know, depending on where you're watching this, but YouTube's the one where I miss it the most when I don't have it. Because I do feel positive rewards for the stuff I consume there. Whereas when I'm on other platforms, the reality is I don't really feel that as much. So when I delete Instagram or I delete Facebook off my phone, I don't have a compulsion to want to get back on them necessarily. Those are what, you know, sometimes people call like the doom scroll, right? But yeah, it's very fascinating. I think we're going to see more and more and more of no to more and yes to less, right? And no is a real word in more ways than one. It can stand for a lot of different things. But, you know, it's hard to say no to people because to say yes to you, you might have to disappoint someone, let someone down. And at times, we'll let ourselves down to avoid letting someone else down. We'll harm our mental health to supposedly not harm someone else's mental health. And it's not that, oh, I'm going to cause you harm so I don't cause me harm. It's how do we, in the best way possible, potentially not cause anyone harm and learn to communicate. I'm still doing this every day. Learn to communicate with those around us. I'm still not great at that. And I do my best to get better every day because what I do my best to do for others is to create a safe place for someone to step away, to get out, to say no, right? Because I know that's what I want. I know that if I'm doing business with somebody and they're really excited, and then I can't get a hold of them, but they were really excited on the phone. So I'm going to treat it as it was real. They're really excited. They want to do something with me. So if I can't get a hold of them, I don't default to they don't like me. They actually were lying to me. They don't want it. I will follow up a number of times. And then I might end with one that says something like, look, I am going to assume you're not receiving these messages. Because the last time we talked, you were really excited. Now, I just want you to know, I'm going to assume you're not getting it. If you're getting it and you're not wanting to do it for some reason, no worries. Just let me know. I won't pressure you, push you, or anything. I just want to make sure you're getting this. And if for some reason something came up, no harm, no foul. If you could just let me know so I know where we sit, that'd be great. Like some version of that. I'd say 8 out of 10 times, I'll get a response. And people will go, no. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Life happened. This happened. That happened. Or yeah, you know, we're not interested. Whatever it is, but they'll respond. because I think when people are on the phone, when they're in person, there's a very few people who have a no filter, you know, way about them, where if they're not interested, they're like, I don't want it. Versus most people will go, no, that seems really awesome. That sounds great. Right. And as a byproduct, you'll think they're excited about it. When it's not that they might not be excited at all, but they don't want to tell you to their face, your face, that they're not interested. So they got to go do something else. Now, some people teach people how to close. I don't like that approach. But those people don't really necessarily always, I don't think, care about the person. You know, I think that's why I hear I'm a breath of fresh air a lot. But that ability for people to feel safe even in that moment to say no can allow a me, a you, to be at peace right afterwards versus weeks of going. And this is when you have a lack of supply of people coming in too. When you're a business just starting and you've got somebody you talk to and they seem excited, and then you don't know when the next person you're going to talk to is coming. It might be 2 months. You know, you sit and potentially obsess over the one person that you were talking to that told you they were excited, and now you can't get a hold of them, right? And it's because in that moment, they didn't feel safe to say, I'm not interested or I'm not ready, because they don't know how you're going to react. They don't know if you're going to start to beat them over the head, you know, and say, oh, well, you know, what do we got to do? Da, 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 da. And, you know, or that you're going to be super disappointed, discouraged. You know, I remember back in the day, you know, I was historically delivering things I would always meet deadlines, but if I didn't think a real deadline existed. So like in my wedding business, I didn't think real deadlines existed. I'm not proud of that, by the way, but the wedding had a deadline. I would always show up to the wedding and I would always deliver my same day edits. But outside of that, I would make up something of like, oh, I got to deliver this in 3 to 6 months, you know? And I always would get behind because I had so many other things going on, but these all had deadlines and everything had deadlines. But these things that were kind of made up deadlines, I would put off. And that's what caused a lot of my issues. But rather than kind of being really honest and figuring that out up front, and maybe, because I think actually I told people 3 months, I didn't tell them 6 months, and then it would take 6 months or more. And what would happen is that I wanted somebody to be like, oh, that sounds great, right? Like if you tell them it's going to be 30 to 60 days, 90 days, like, okay, no problem. That sounds great. You know, and they had this other video. But the problem is that if I told them it was going to be 6 to 12 months, they would have been super disappointed. Right. And I didn't want to face that. So it was easier to get the positive up front. And then in my mind, which was ludicrous at the time, but it's not how I was thinking, is that I'll deal with whatever on the back end. But I think optimistically, I thought I'd get it done, but I never did. And then I had to deal with negative on the back end. So I was either dealing with the negative on the front end or negative on the back end. Instead, I chose to have the negative on the back end instead of the front end, versus just being genuinely honest about the situation and working it through so everybody would be happy. It's like shipping. If they tell you it's going to be 3 months and there's nowhere else to get it, you know, you might be disappointed, but you'll deal with it if there's, you know, reasons that make sense. But if somebody tells you it's going to be 3 days and it takes 3 months, that's not a good thing. Yeah. You know, I just continue to get on here and practice, you know. Today was one of those days where I'm like, I want to continue to get on here even when I'm not always at like, bam, you know, because the thing is when I'm creating content like this, telling stories and sharing experiences and things, it's different than when I'm reacting to an individual and coaching them. There's something about when I hear somebody and I'm responding, there's different things that get engaged in my mind than, you know, pop it on here in this way. So, anyways, I hope you find this enjoyable and keep checking out. It's really cool. Look on YouTube and see that there's people returning. If you're one of the returners, there's a couple hundred of you, leave a comment, say hello. And then if you want help navigating, because I just came out of a 2-year rut and I've experienced moving at the light speed and doing really, really well, then kind of maintaining, then going down, then getting in a rut and then coming back out and all these ups and downs. And you know, it's great when you have somebody who gets you to talk to. And I have a safe place with my coaching for people to be able to share and not suppress their emotions and their feelings about what's going on, not be judged for it. And so if you are wanting to help get unstuck, get your juices fired. Like even for me, I just came up with instead of massive imperfect action, which I've had some magic happen this year because of it already. And I love it, but I'm even shifting to TIA, tiny imperfect actions. Just continue to take an action because you can build the momentum so much easier, because the more massive something is at times, it seems insurmountable, and therefore we won't act, we won't do. And to the degree that we can take a step, right, then it makes it a lot easier to take that weight and that pressure off yourself to do something massive. Sometimes massive can happen and it works well. Other times massive is monumental and it's too big, and then we freeze and we're stuck. So if you can take that tiny step today, and that's what I'm reminding myself every day right now, is to take a tiny step, and they compound and build that. And before I add too much, right, it's not about more, it's about the less, and finding that right balance for you. Sometimes you have to push your limits to know your limits, but we want to grow. But at the same time, I know it feels good to do. I know that these people, what they're wanting is to get away from the, you know, the stuff just going really hardcore, and just get back to a place where they just get to create. They just get to be themselves, and they're not having to create to please an algorithm, to just please other people. And that will look very different for everybody. And how commercially viable some of that is, no one knows. But what you're finding is what sometimes is commercially viable, not done from a place that I think, not that they don't want it, because they thought it is what they had to do, right? And then they learn it's not what they want. And so, write because you want to write, draw because you want to draw, design because you want to design, sing because you want to sing. And I find that when people do that for them first and others second, there's a magic that can happen. And there's a sustainability that comes when you're not, when it aligns, it's great, right? Meaning when commercially, what you like, what you want to do, all these things align, that can be magic. But when you're doing something that you don't like solely for others, it'll be very difficult, I believe, to not lead to burnout, stress, and anxiety, and unsustainability. Rock and roll, my friends. Have an incredible day. Take it easy every once in a while. You can't pull off, and then you get back at it. Because what's happening to some of these people is they're not they're not slowing down a little bit to speed up, and they're just keeping the pedal in the red line. And then rather than being able to tweak and make adjustments and keep going, they're having to stop entirely. And I've seen that far too many times in my life. So when I'm catching it, it's better to take a day and just chill than it is to need to take a year or forever. And then you got a lot of work you got to do internally to get back on. And I know that firsthand, because the last couple of years I've had to do an enormous amount of internal work to really get back in a groove, and really not just personally, because personally I was feeling really good in a lot of ways, but professionally I was really stuck. I do a lot of inner work because I pushed so hard for so long. And my body was saying, stop it. And that's what I think is happening to a lot of these people, is they just got into things for fun. And then a lot of great things happened for them, not of which that they're not grateful for in a lot of ways, but their body ended up saying, stop. And it probably told them stop for a very, very long time, until now there was no other option but to quit. That's it for now. Keep rocking. Keep rolling. And I wanted to say keep going, but maybe today you just take a break. Rock and roll.